Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's Theo Epstein and Rick Hahn yesterday in conversation about this big trade. Barry Rosner's in for Danny Parkins today. It's a Spiegel and Parkins show right here on The Score. So there's been a lot of stuff out there and now circulating about how John Lester and Jose Quintana over the last 3 years statistically have been very, very, very similar. Basically the same guy. If you look at FanGraph's version of WAR, in fact, Quintana is a 13.9 over the last 3 years. Lester is a 13.4. The only spots where Lester has an advantage are his strikeout rate and his strikeout per walk rate. But statistically, they're very similar. You can look at that. But what I was mentioning, I want to talk with you about is something that you have pointed out repeatedly about John Lester, is his toughness.
I love John Lester.
I know you do. And so do I. And as you watch him, and they've always known this about him since they drafted him and brought him up, and he was, as a young guy, a part of their 2007 World Championship team in Boston. He doesn't give up any at-bat against anybody.
He also doesn't give in, which, if you're unfamiliar with the phrase, what it means is he doesn't care if it's bases loaded, 3-2, ninth inning, you are not getting the pitch you want, because screw you. You don't get what you want. I decide what we're going to do here.
And I've got such good control, I'm going to still pick apart my corners and put it exactly where I want and make you do something you don't want to do in the mano-a-mano at bat.
Just tough. Just tough. You know, he's not going to get beat on something other than
his pitch.
Well, it's gonna be his choice. Ultimately, it's gonna be his choice. If I'm gonna lose, I don't intend to, but if I do, it's gonna be the way I want to do it. In the meantime, I'm gonna fight you all the way to the end. It's that toughness, the fearlessness. You could see it. You know, you walk around during the playoffs, not just last year, but even in 2015, and you know, you walk through clubhouses, and there are certain clubhouses where you get a sense of who's in charge. You get a sense of who's afraid, who isn't. I always remember.
That's well said, by the way, because that feeling of like seeing guys, you can see their machismo. It's like it's measured as they walk by.
Well, there's different kinds of it. Like you used to see Maddox day of a game and he'd just be playing cards. You know, it'd just be like, it was just like any other day. And you'd see sometimes, and you'd look at another starter and he'd be sweating bullets. He'd just be sitting at his locker. You know, he's bobbing back and forth, his feet are going up and down, and he's sweating bullets.
Uh-huh.
And then you walk through a Cubs clubhouse like in 2015 or 2016, and John Lester's, he's like, I shouldn't use the word, because John Lackey's the sheriff, right? Isn't he the new sheriff in town?
Yeah, whatever, Lester.
But John Lester, he looks like he's the guy in charge, and everybody sort of draws off of that. Like, all right, we're good. We're okay.
And I bring up his makeup, especially on the mound, and that amount of guts and not giving in, like you described well, to point out they value that tremendously. They love that, and they see it in Q. That's the thing. Is like he's got a ton of guts as a pitcher. He does not have dominant stuff. He does not have elite stuff. Neither does John Lester. He's got good stuff. But Jose Quintana has guts and balls as a pitcher, and they love that, and that matters a lot. It ages well. It's going to age very well. John Lester is going to age very well.
He already has.
Yes. And then
until about 3 weeks ago.
Well, yeah, right. But then you also add in, like, Quintana's easy delivery. It's like, there have not been a lot of issues with him mechanically through the years because it's a very simple, repeatable delivery. You know, we were talking to Jed about Jake Arrieta a while back, and he said, look, not everybody can just wake up, roll out of bed, and throw a fastball on the outside black like John Lester. Well, Jose Quintana, most of the time, can do that. So they're investing in guys who physically are not going to break down to the best of their prediction that they can, and who have the guts to go at you and have the stones to go at you every fifth day, every batter, and not give in.
You know what else Lester does? And Quintana, I don't know if he's doing it as much this year as he has in the past. But Lester, like Tom Glavine, who also didn't throw very hard, was never afraid to pitch inside to a right-hander. And the way that you do that is you get him off the plate. Tom Glavine always got guys off the plate so that you can't be diving over home plate to get to that ball on the outside corner. That's how you use the outside corner, is you establish the inside corner. You get a right-hander as a lefty off the plate. Lester does that. He's not afraid. He's not afraid to pitch inside. You know, I don't know if you know this, Matt, but you're not allowed to pitch inside anymore.
I know.
You're not allowed to. God forbid you should come near somebody. There's a bench clearing brawl because you came near somebody. I mean, it's idiotic. You're allowed to move a guy off the plate. And Lester's not afraid to go in there, and that's effective. Quintana, I think, used to do that more than he has this year. Maybe that's something he needs to work on.
So statistically, for caller David and anybody else who's looking at either wins or no decisions or dominance that they're trying to sort of see somehow, two things statistically. One, I just gave you, by war, he and John Lester, almost the same exact guy over the last 3 years. The other thing is that you should know, his run support between 2012 and 2017 was the absolute worst in all of baseball.
Bottom. Three, very bottom.
The absolute worst. Thank you to Scott from Davenport for throwing that up there. And just as a reminder that quality starts are more important to look at cumulatively than wins.
Hey, you could make the argument that a guy who has pitched with no run support, a guy who has pitched seemingly every single game in one-run games, mm-hmm. or having to be nearly perfect because he knows he's going to get nothing from his team, you could argue that guy is well-positioned to handle the pressure of being in tough games.
Everything we just said about John Lester, by the way, we understand as we're having the conversation, and you mentioned it, there's been some rough starts, some rough beginnings for John Lester this year.
Sunday, not so good. Last Sunday.
I remember that. That's when Rickon was texting Theo in the middle of that inning.
That's so funny.
Is that great? That's he didn't so realize they had started early. He didn't know that John Lester was in the middle of giving up nine runs.
I have to tell you, by the way, speaking of not knowing, I have to tell you where I was yesterday when my phone began to buzz that this trade had occurred.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I really want to guess golf course porta potty. Just because all roads usually lead there for you. That's not the answer.
That's not the answer.
Okay. Let's talk to Brian in Grays Lake on the score. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You got it.
I just kind of want to talk about, address what the last caller said about Quintana not being dominant and stuff. There are very few pitchers in the major leagues right now that are truly dominant and truly an ace. Every fan of every, ball club says, oh, man, our guy is the man. But if you really go down the list, you see Kershaw, you see Sale, you see Scherzer. Those are three aces for sure. The Cubs right now are looking for consistency, not so much, a dominant pitcher. It's more, just to fit that last piece in. He's given you 200-plus innings over the last 4 years. Additionally, an ERA of about 350. And, you guys just addressed it with the quality starts, too. Without run support, his record with the Sox is 64-68 with, I want to say 60 no decisions on there. So it was a good pickup for the Cubs, but it was also a great pickup for the Sox.
Thank you, appreciate the call, Brian.
Yeah. What they need right now is to get out of the first inning. They'd settle for that at this point. That'd be a major victory. to not be down in the first inning every single day would be a nice change.
Quintana over the last three seasons, 21, 25, and 23 quality starts. And if you hate quality start as an individual stat, you have to appreciate it as a cumulative one. Every time he goes out there, he gives you a chance to win. If you can put up a few runs, which is the next step for the Cubs. This is Dimitri in Harwood Heights on the score. Hey, Dimitri, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling about the first caller. As a Sox fan, I saw Quintana from the time he started, and I really got to appreciate what he meant. Yeah, his win-loss record is not that great, but my God, he goes out there, gives you his all, 200 innings a year, 3.5 ERA. No, is he a dominant ace? No. But my God, the Cubs rotation just got better, and I think they're finally going to realize it.
Thanks, Dimitri. This segment is brought to you by Four Winds Casino in nearby Southwest Michigan for gaming, for dining, for entertainment, for adventure. Four Winds Casinos, your entertainment escape. All right, so yesterday when the trade goes down, I'm here, and we broke into a commercial break and started talking about it. I had Bruce Levine on and, you know, did the radio show, and that's an exciting place to be. But where were you when the trade went down and your phone started to blow up?
I was on the roof of my house. We've had a lot of damage over the last, I mean, those 2 days, specifically Tuesday night when we lost power. It's been a bad few days. Power, water, tree branches, shingles, gutters. It's just, it was a really bad couple days. So yesterday morning was the first time I really had to get out on the roof, start cutting branches, start trying to fix that one particular gutter that just got destroyed.
Oh, boy.
And
this is why
and,
I hope to never own a house.
And start cleaning. The gutters are filled. I have a birch. I have this really big birch that wasn't supposed to be as big. When we 25 years ago, we were told it was going to be a 12-foot tree. It's about 70 feet.
Oh, gee.
And it
how do you that's a terrible job of projecting.
That's
whoever your tree talent evaluator was at the time, they did a horrific job.
Really bad tree metrics. Really bad tree metrics.
The analytics department of your tree scouting needs an upgrade.
Did you have a Phil Emery lanyard by chance?
The good news is
there's no birch vineyard. Actually, there probably is.
The good news is we paid for a 12-foot tree and got 70 feet. The bad news is it's probably going to push up the front porch and go into the foundation and whatever.
Oh my God.
So it craps down on the house, something that could best be described as, well, I can't use the words on the air, but you just get these handfuls of,
yeah, I'm going to need something. You're going to have to be a little more about
right, this. Schmutz.
Yeah, schmutz.
You know, but it's more like feces. It's just, there you go. Thank you. Thank you, Rick. It's just handfuls and handfuls, and it clogs the gutters on top of everything
what
else.
What is it, like leaves and moss?
No,
it's like
a
growth.
It's a
brown, fuzzy.
It's a kind of seed that it drops,
right.
And then when it gets wet, it just becomes these thick clumps of stuff.
Birch tree refuse. Go ahead. I'm Googling.
So I am elbow deep in this stuff when my daughter comes out of the house at about 10:50.
That's when it happened. Right about
and,
when it happened.
And says, your phone is going crazy. And I said, I don't care. This has to get done. She's like, well, do you want me to read you any of the texts or anything? I was like, all right, I'll come down off the, and I hate getting off the roof onto the ladder.
Oh, that's the scary part. That's the moment.
Yeah, because
And images of Daryl Sutter and Bo Diaz.
And Bill Melton, and I'm who also fell off a roof.
I didn't know that.
And I'm, that's how he hurt his back.
Wow.
And or was it his, I think his kid fell off the roof. Anyway.
Famous people who fell off a roof. Go ahead.
And I'm wet. I'm filled with all this crap all over me, and I smell terrible because this stuff is awful. And I walk in the house and I go to the kitchen and I look at my phone and I'm like, oh, for the love of God. And so then I start checking my emails and the White Sox have an 11 o'clock conference call. So now I am filled with all this crap and I've got to get down to the basement, get my laptop turned on.
Get on that conference
call. Get on the conference call.
You have 10 minutes. You have 10 minutes to do this.
Well, now I have four. And so I'm
and you're still covered in birch tree refuse.
Oh, I smell like death. All right. You have different forms of conference call, Matt. There are the ones the Blackhawks do where you call into this 800 number, you give the code, they take down all your information, and then in order for you to actually be live on the call and audible, you have to press a couple of buttons.
With your stinky hands.
On this particular call yesterday, I couldn't really read the email because I was kind of in a rush to get all these things done. And I wasn't really listening when I got connected to the conference call. I was doing many things at once, including washing my hands because I smell like dog feces.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to do all these things. And at the same time, there's people upstairs and they're walking around and my wife is talking to me and I don't realize I'm connected. And it's 11 o'clock on the nose. And I say, I think what I said was, hon, I'm on a conference call. And the next words I hear are from Bob Bechtold,
the White Sox PR guy,
who says, those of you who have not yet done it, please mute your phones so we don't have another incident like that. So now
it could have been a lot worse.
So now I'm like, I didn't even know my Bluetooth was still on. I didn't know anything that was happening. I'm just trying to get it all in by 11, right? Including get this stench off of me, which I can't stand.
So you were the stinkiest guy on the conference
call.
But I'm
the guy. I'm the guy now who has... And I'm afraid what I've done is interrupt Rick Hahn on the conference call. I haven't heard anything yet.
Wow.
But I haven't done that, fortunately. All that's happened is I've annoyed Bob Becton.
So you're expecting Rick Hahn to say, all right, is everybody on the conference call? is everybody here now? Is everybody's wife aware that they are on the conference call?
And we all know each other, okay? I mean, it's the same 25 of us, so I'm sure everybody knew who it was. So I'm now the guy. Right, I'm the guy that we all make fun of for being the turd on the conference call.
Just add that to the pile. Just add that to the pile of stuff that you are made fun
of. I mean,
for.
You know, in the past, Peggy is famous for typing. Of course,
she's the loud typist. We called her out and had her on one time because
I was here.
Oh, you were here.
She called in and fessed up that it was her.
Because every Bears press conference had this.
Oh, well, we feel really good about our tackles, and who's doing that? And it was Peggy Kaczynski.
So yesterday, it turns out I didn't do any damage for I must have interrupted Bob.
I just closed the internet somehow.
You crashed the whole station, I think, because of how hard you were hitting. You're a loud typer, too, by the way.
I am. Well, because I'm a two-finger typist, and I hammer the hell out of the keys, but I'm pretty fast at it.
By the way. Professional journalist never learned to
type. Two-finger typer?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
My daughter says, she watches me sometimes, she says, you are incredibly fast.
Oh, see, now it's on. Now it is on.
No, I don't want to have a contest.
Why not?
Because I'm not all that accurate.
I have to go back a lot.
That's
only part of it. Accuracy is only part of it. Because I'm very fast and I'm pretty accurate. I feel good about myself as a two-finger typer. You and I might be the fastest two-finger typers in this town.
You'd be surprised how many professional journalists in their 40s or 50s never bothered to learn the
type. I remember being in a newsroom at the TV station in college and just hammering away as a two-finger typist, and everybody else around me was also doing the same thing.
I hate when she says you're fast, though, because then I think, do I even know where, like, I must know where the keys are without even knowing that I know it. I must know. How else could I be fast? I don't want to think about it. It's like, how do you throw that two-seam fastball right on the outside corner? You don't want to say that to a pitcher because then he'll go, I don't know. I don't know. I may not be able to do it again. Thanks for bringing it up.
That's what Sandberg said to us last week, is like, he never wanted to talk. Yeah, you know this, obviously, having written the book. It's a very readable book. You wrote a book with Sandberg, and he said that he never wanted to talk. When things were going well, and like Harry Carey or Steve Stone wanted to talk to him pregame, he never wanted to do it. He's like, if I talk about it, things are going to start going bad.
Nobody does. Nobody wants to talk about why it looks the way it does, right? Because they don't want to think about it.
Right. That's how you succeed.
A golfer's the same way. The last thing in the world he wants to do after shooting 62 is get right on TV and explain how he did it. He doesn't know. It's just today I felt it, and I hope I can feel it again tomorrow. So anyway, I during this conference call yesterday, Matt, to just finish up on this.
Yes, sir.
There's heavy breathing. Someone is breathing heavy into their phone the whole time, and it's not muted. So I emailed Bob after the conference call was over and apologized for being the guy who didn't know that he was on at that moment.
Mm-hmm. And that wasn't Rick looking over their farm system rankings.
He said, "No problem. You didn't interrupt anything. It was okay." But who was doing the heavy breathing the whole time? It was audible.
Really?
Yeah, someone was.
Oh, that's too bad. Now you got me thinking about unhealthy members of the baseball media.
Okay, all right, that's a long list.
Okay.
That's a long list of guys.
Was Jiggs on the call?
Oh, you know, really? QC Brad says, your old tree evaluator who predicted 17 feet and you ended up with 70?
12.
Or 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, that person, he went on to become president of the Chicago Bulls. Little known fact. It's Spiegs and Rajna here on 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I'm on a conference call. Yeah, again, if you're not asking the question, could you please hit mute to avoid that type of interruption? Rick, are you on the call?
That's it!
I missed it. Can you play it again?
That's why I was trying to tell you, shut up and listen.
I was talking to you guys. But...
Hang on a second. That is the exact moment. The beginning of the conference call when Barry is the guy.
Yeah, Rickon wasn't there yet, thankfully.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I'm the guy. Yeah. I'm that guy.
And your wife is like, Barry, what's going on?
Well,
and you say,
I'm on a conference call.
Yeah, again, if you're not asking the question, could you please hit mute to avoid that type of interruption? Rick, are you on the call?
He was not on the call for you. Did you hear somebody laughing?
Yes,
I heard somebody laugh.
What if that's the heavy breather?
Well, could be.
Could be the same guy.
Yeah.
So this is a mystery. We know who the loud typist is. That's Peggy Kaczynski. Barry is the guy who says, I'm on a conference call, when everybody is already on the conference call.
Right.
And we're just trying to find the heavy breather. Oh, that's awesome. Good find, man.
Yeah, it was a great moment.
I'm on a conference call.
I also smell like tree feces.
Which doesn't come through on the call. I don't believe that comes through.
I'm also soaking wet.
Oh, God, that's awesome.
From the filthy water clogging up the gutters. And I've hit myself in the face 5 times with the tree branches I'm trying to cut to get them off the roof.
Just tremendous. This segment is brought to you by the Detox and Treatment Helpline. Drug or alcohol problems for you or a loved one can be solved. And with insurance, treatment may be at little or no cost to you. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now, 800-430-4149.
As you can tell, I'm also pretty happy at that moment.
Yeah, you're pretty psyched to be there, right?
I'm in a pretty good place that moment.
I'm on a conference call.
Would you like a fun baseball trivia question to work on for the rest of the day?
Yeah, sure.
Just to have in your mind? Because I know you and I know your brain. I like your brain. Top of the hour, we're going to talk to Casey Johnson about the Bulls. He's coming in, right? Casey Johnson coming in the studio. Let's buy the man a sandwich. If he wants a sandwich, I will sponsor a run for sandwiches since we are in the missing Mitch formation. We're experiencing Mitchlessness today.
How's that feeling?
Just fine today. Hope Mitch has a great weekend. I'll see him on Monday. But anyway.
Is he on vacation?
I don't know. I don't know, actually.
Okay.
And we're going to talk to Jonah Carey, our regular feature with Jonah Carey of CBS Sports and Sports Illustrated next. But here's a fun trivia one for you to work on all day. Okay.
Okay.
10 most valuable players in baseball history have played for the Mets. They've never had one themselves.
Oh man.
The Mets have never had an MVP, but there are 10 players who won MVPs elsewhere and were on the Mets at some point,
does that include coach or manager, or does it have to be player?
Player.
As a player.
As a player, they played for the Mets, 10 different people, and they won an MVP somewhere else. I've got the list. And throughout the day, between now and 1 o'clock, you can throw some at me, and I'll tell you yes or no, and I'll give everybody the full list by the end of the show. It's a fun one. I was in a text chain with 2 baseball buddies the other day, and it took us a good 2.5 hours to get through it. And one of them I never got. Would you like the one I never got?
No.
You don't even want the one I never got?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Give me a chance. Give everybody who's listening a chance.
Okay. Because there's one I don't think you'll ever get, but I could be wrong.
All right. Come in.
I'm on a conference call.
Come in.
I'm on a conference call.
And I'm happy. I'm really happy right now.
We'll have a 3-person conference call with Jonah Carey next on 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. Jonah Carey.
He has definitely an eclectic and interesting personality. We don't have the leaders of our industry ripping people. It's randos with, you know, egg icons or whatever on Twitter.
The Jonah Carey Podcast.
We sat and chatted and chatted and chatted and chatted. Did Schwarber once, you know, help an old lady cross the street? Perfect. +5 points. Did Schwarber once spit out his gum? Okay, well, that's -2.
CBS Sports and SI columnist.
Here, take all my hypotheticals.
hypothetical gummy bears in the world. You want me to mortgage my daughter? I'll do that too. But I'm going to invoke, dare I say, a little bit of intangibles on this show.
Jonah Carey with Spiegel and Parkins.
Go Bears, but whatever, football thing.
On 670 The Score.
He's our friend Jonah Carey, and he joins us right now on the Grossinger Auto Group Hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. Jonah, what's up, man? Yesterday was an incredibly exciting day for both sides of town. What do you think about the Jose Quintana trade?
There was a trade?
Yeah. News to you, right?
I haven't heard. The longer form take can be found at cbssports.com in my weekly column, Carry the 10, which just came out. But, I mean, honestly, you know, it is a win-win. I'd like to come up with a hotter take than that, but I do like it from both sides. From the Cubs point of view, you know, I think that Verducci's book is germane here. If people haven't read it, it's called The Cubs Way. It's very good. I recommend it. And it talks all about the way that the Cubs built what they built. And it really comes down to building around young mashers, basically Rizzo, Bryant, guys like that. And, yeah, we'll figure out the pitching later. We'll get a guy under a rock, or we'll throw a bunch of money at him, but we're not going to necessarily devote ourselves to developing pitchers because they're volatile. Well, guess what? Looking under rocks is also volatile, so is throwing a lot of money at guys. And, you know, the end result is that some of the guys that they found under rocks all of a sudden aren't that good anymore. Arrieta's not that good anymore, at least not this season. Kyle Hendricks, not particularly good. These guys were, you know, great finds, and they've done very well, but they're not doing all that well this year. And even when you look at the throw money at guys, John Lester's looked awesome at times. He's also given up 16 runs in his last two starts. So they absolutely needed a starter, preferably one who wasn't super old, because it's starting to be an older rotation too. And, you know, Quintana fits the bill. He's not only signed for this year, but he signed through 2020. So I like that a lot. And, you know, you look at his first 11 starts of the season, that's what really held his numbers down for the year. But he's also got 150 really good starts in his career, and I'm inclined to believe a larger sample size. On the White Sox side, if you're going to rebuild, just rebuild. Just go all the way. You know, I just did a podcast with Jeff Lunau. We talked all about that. Ugly, ugly years, but now the Astros are what? Probably the best team in baseball, certainly the best team in the American League. They might win the World Series by stripping down to the bone. The White Sox started this process by trading Sale and Eaton. They continued it by trading Quintana. Jimenez is a real comer. He's a legitimate top prospect. And guess what? Frazier's going to be gone. Abreu's going to be gone. Robertson's going to be gone. They're going to go all the way with this thing, and the hope will be that the Cubs, hey, maybe the Cubs have the latter end of this decade, but when we get to the 2020s, that's going to be the decade of the White Sox. And you know what? That's not a crazy prediction, given how good their farm system looks right now.
Jonah, speaking of having a plan, the Brewers have had a plan. They've done pretty well with it. They say they're not going to deviate from it. What do you think they should do, and what do you think they will do?
Well, that allows for a lot of latitude. You know, when you make a statement like that, you could take the implication to mean, well, we're not trading any prospect for any veteran. But, you know, if you read between the lines here, and this is something that any GM will say, too. I just talked to Ross Atkins, the GM of the Blue Jays. They're in this weird middle spot, too, and they said the same thing. The logical thing would be, all right, you know, we're looking for younger guys, whatever. Brewers are a rebuilding team. You say they're looking for younger guys. But I take that to mean they will be looking for guys that can help them in the future. So let's say that Sonny Gray is available. You know, and they were after Quintana, by the way. They were one of the teams that was reported to be after Quintana. So let's say they're after Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray is not just controllable for this season, but he's controllable for the future as well. Gray isn't necessarily the elite pitcher that he was a couple of years ago, but he's pretty good. And you can afford to give up younger guys to get somebody like that who's helping you not only now, but for the future. That's what the Brewers ultimately want. They, of course, have to try to win the division this year. They're up by 5.5 games. They're really good. If they're ahead of schedule, who cares? They can win the World Series. You might as well go for it. But that doesn't mean trading all your prospects to get a guy you're going to rent for 2 months. Now, if you're going to get a guy for 2 years, 3 years, something like that, it makes sense. I think that's the sweet spot for the Brewers. So I imagine they're not going to make a blockbuster trade for Francisco Liriano, who's a free agent at the end of the season, or somebody like that. But could they do it for a guy who has multiple years left? Sure, I think that's quite possible.
Among those people, who's legitimately available? Are the Pirates even going to talk about Gerrit Cole? Chris Archer appears to be off the radar. Is Michael Fulmer something that actually would get considered in Detroit? What's your take on the best left?
Yeah, you know, each of these guys, there's kind of a different scenario here. With Fulmer, it would take a lot, right? I think they're looking for a blockbuster kind of thing. You know, the Schwarber-Fulmer thing kind of gained traction as a rumor. I think what the Tigers are looking for is a foundational player, a guy that they could build around, and Fulmer is one of those guys. So I think it's more, you know, they could sniff around, but I doubt that there's going to be any kind of one-for-one trade that really fits the bill. You know, a lot of guys, other guys, you mentioned the Pirates. that's another team. They're, you know, they might not. It's hard, funny to say they're not necessarily contending because I think they're, what, a game behind the Cubs right now, and the Cubs have World Series aspirations. But so the Pirates are basically in that limbo too. And what they're saying is, we don't mind making trades, but we're not trying to blow everything up. So, you know, not just Cole, but Andrew McCutchen, who's suddenly back to being Andrew McCutchen. He's signed through next season. Do they trade McCutchen now? Not necessarily if they're trying to make a run in 2018. You sort of get that. Same goes for Cole. I think that one team that could make some pitchers available, again, it's a middle team, but they have a lot of pitchers coming up on free agency or near free agency, the Blue Jays. There's Liriano, there's Marco Estrada, Jay Happ is a free agent at the end of 2018. All three of those guys could make sense as trade commodities as the Blue Jays try to kind of keep going but sort of retool on the fly.
What are they going to do? I mean, it sounds like they're sort of caught in between on their decision-making.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, Barry. You know, I think the one thing that I was guilty of earlier when I started doing this crazy business was really just focusing on, all right, well, here's how many wins above replacement. All right, we can have this guy. Oh, they're not good. You better blow it up. You better do this and that. And the more you sort of hang around the game and actually talk to people who work in the game, the more you realize, well, it's much more complicated than that. And Toronto might be the most complicated team in baseball right now. They, twice, 2 years in a row, they've gone to the ALCS. That's no mean feat. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
They also lead the league in attendance the last 2 years. That's also a big deal. So the Jays, who for 20 years were in the wilderness, they had the longest drought in baseball without making the playoffs. Nobody was interested. There's lots to do in Toronto in the summertime, so people didn't bother with the team. All of a sudden, they get good. They're leading the league in attendance. TV ratings are through the roof. And not only that, the intangibles, too. So you're getting more money off of all this stuff. But all of a sudden, free agents want to go there, which they never did before. Ask Canada. Who cares? I think you have to look for a little bit of a soft landing there where, yeah, they do move a couple of guys, but then, you know, Josh Donaldson's a free agent at the end of next season. A pure baseball move might be to trade Josh Donaldson for every young player in the world, but I don't think that happens. And I think this is one of the most interesting things going on right now in baseball. With two wild cards per league, with a weird situation where teams are sort of hanging around the fringe, you know, there's going to be some teams like the White Sox and the Astros are going to say, we're tearing it to the ground. Our best player is going to be our mascot. We don't really care. But a whole bunch of other teams are going to say, whoa, 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 we don't want to alienate fans for a whole generation. We don't want to really put ourselves back 5 years. We're going to try to do it halfway. I think there's merit to both moves, but from a purely baseball standpoint, the Astros-White Sox method really strikes me as more effective.
The Cubs' move to get Jose Quintana, Jonah, like just enables so much financial flexibility, and they're going to need it because Arrieta and Lackey will be gone. And if they want to spend $100 million on a pitcher or something like that, who's the right target? Masahiro Tanaka's had a brutal year. Johnny Cueto, even if he opts out, it's not looked like a guy that maybe you want to think about investing in. Is Yu Darvish somebody they can trust physically? Or what do you think about the upcoming free agent class?
Yeah, it's pretty weak. Unfortunately, 18, you've got some better names out there, although even then, a lot of them are position players, so it's a weird thing. You know, it sort of depends on valuation. A guy like Darvish would be great, but it's just there's going to be somebody who messes things up. There's going to be somebody who says, all right, here's $180 million. You just cannot take that risk on a guy like Darvish that way. You know, the Cubs are in this weird spot where they really do value player evaluation, and, you know, sometimes they're going for a guy who, despite the fact they have plenty of money, they're going for a little bit of the bargain. Maybe that's Tanaka. You know, Tanaka, who's been really, really good, he's got a potential opt-out here. He's been really bad this year. That's the guy that they could potentially pursue. But by the same token, you don't want to get too cute. You're trying for a dynasty here. That's what they're going for. So we will see. I will say another guy who's out there is Michael Pineda. Maybe Michael Pineda is the split the difference guy. He's always been a guy who's had better peripherals than ERA, better strikeout to walk rate and all that stuff. Maybe he goes over to the National League with a better defense and he thrives over there. So I could see a scenario like that. He's not too old also. So all these things are in play. But yeah, you know, somebody like Darvish, maybe he's the best pitcher on the market, but gee, I mean, is that something you want to really risk? That's a tough one.
Jonah, the Kansas City Royals have 2 weeks to make decisions on guys. Right now, they say, you okay, Jonah?
Yeah, sorry, I've got this back off, yeah.
That's okay. We worry about your health.
I appreciate it.
The decision is basically between whether to sell off all these guys or go for it again. They say they're going for it again. What is the danger in doing that, and do you think they still have a chance to change their minds in the next 2 weeks?
There's no danger, and I think there's almost no chance they're changing their minds. This is Dayton Moore's team. These are his guys. You know, whether it's trading for Kane, whether it's developing Moustakas and Hosmer, they're all in on all these guys. Escobar is a free agent at the end of this year. Vargas, those five guys are all free agents and all have various degrees of utility. Moustakas and Vargas, of course, were all stars.
Kane probably should have been an All-Star. These are all really, really good players, oh, except for Escobar. He's not very good. But so they're in this position where they're going to ride it out. And, you know, you could look at it both ways. If they, you know, try to make a run and they win the second wild card and they finish outside the playoffs and then nothing happens, then it was sort of like, oh, what was the point of that? They could have traded all these guys. But I think this is one of those deals where, you know, even if a couple of them leave or whatever, all right, well, that means you get to reset your payroll. You get to go out and shop for different players. You get to rebuild around younger guys. I just think that the way that Dayton Moore operates, it's hard to see it. You know, there's been a window here for the Royals. Of course, they were great in 14 and 15. I could see them trying to sustain here.
Ricola, go grab something. Jonah, good luck with the cough. Thank you for the time. You're the goods.
Thank you, fellas.
I appreciate
it.
See
you, Jonah.
This is Jonah Carey joining us right here on 670 The Score. It's interesting to note the changes in the Red Sox World Series champion rotations between 2004 and 2007. Because by the time they were good enough to win again and got there and had a chance, they had changed a lot. 2004, the Red Sox under Theo and Jed, Curt Schilling, Pedro Martinez, Tim Wakefield, Derek Lowe, Bronson Arroyo, they all made at least 29 starts. Sound familiar, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And then a good year next, and then a mediocre year, and then 3 years later, their rotation had three new primary pieces.
John Lester.
A young John Lester, Josh Beckett, who was brilliant, and a huge international signing of mixed results in Daisuke Matsuzaka. So let's think about Shohei Ohtani, who is the Japanese pitcher slash hitter who's available. All they're looking everywhere. As you know, they look everywhere. But they had Wakefield, Schilling, Julian Tavares started a few games.
Ugh.
I know.
Yeah.
But they won, they won a title 2007 with Wakefield, Schilling, Matsuzaka, Josh Beckett, and a young John Lester.
Is it worth noting at this point that Theo was in on Darvish the first time
around? Absolutely, it's worth noting. That he got Matsuzaka. That he was in on Darvish. I think they were in on Tanaka, right? Remember, we were told that they were in on, even though that it didn't fit the time frame of what they were doing. They thought it might have been worth it. So, if Shohei Ohtani, is he definitely coming? I'm pretty sure that he is. I think in April, the story was that he was coming.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. So, that remember that name and remember that there'll be different people the next time they win, just as there was in Boston.
I have seven guys. I have one, two,
good
three,
for
four,
you.
Five,
of the 10 two, three, people who played for the Mets who won MVP?
I have seven guys. You helped me with an eighth, so I'm not counting that.
You have
one.
Seven. That's very impressive. A lot of people are guessing via text out there and via Twitter. Let's choose a time that I'll give that an hour from now. An hour from now, I'll give everybody the full list of 10. So you
I'm done.
Can make sure to queue in.
I'm done? Yeah.
We'll see. We'll talk at the
My
break.
Head hurts.
Is Casey here? Did our guy arrive? He is! Let's talk some basketball. We'll take a break and talk about the bizarre summer league for the Bulls and more. Lonzo Ball with another triple-double last night. Casey Johnson of The Trip is next in studio on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.